Welcome to the Last Week in Denmark podcast. I'm your host, Rizzy Magnusson, and I'm here with founder of Last Week in Denmark, Narcis, to discuss this week's news and offer you extra insight into what's been happening and how it could affect you. Now let's jump in. Welcome back to the microphone, Narcis. So what's new in the world of Last Week in Denmark?
What is new? Well, soon enough, we will be celebrating our fourth year of Last Week in Denmark. And for 3 years now, we have provided this service on a volunteer basis. And we promise to continue doing so for as long as we physically can. But it would be great if we could hire or get some full-time people among us, the volunteers. And that's why right now what we are focusing on and what we are going to plan to use the next months is that we want to increase the number of subscribers. We just jumped over 20,000 thanks to the efforts we had being present in all these Welcome September events around the country. But what we need, the magic number that we think is going to open the doors for public funding, is 50,000 subscribers. We are halfway there. Well, almost halfway there, mm-hmm. But we have still 3 months to go.
It's a good start.
It is a good start, but we need 50,000. And I think if every subscriber that we have, if they will bring one person, maybe their companion, their wife, their husband, their best friend, their mother, their son, their neighbor, their co-worker, their boss, anyone that they can think of, I think we can easily reach 50,000. There is definitely enough people out there that could become our subscribers. There's 600,000 internationals, so definitely there is space for us to grow. Why 50,000? You might wonder. It's because we need to prove that a significant part of the international society in Denmark wants our service, because, you know, to take taxpayers' money and invest them into this project, we need to show that the taxpayers actually care about this this service and want this service. And in that direction, we plan next week, this is like, to launch our first referral campaign in a way to make a little bit of haste on a growth, to give people a bit of encouragement. So we found a sponsor that we're going to announce in the next week's newsletter, not in this week. They've been kind enough to offer prizes for the first places and prizes for even people who subscribe, 2 people, 5, 10. Everyone would have something to win in this. And you're not only going to get cool stuff from that sponsor, but you're also going to get cool stuff from our own merchandise website, which we're going to provide for you if you put in a little bit of effort to help us reach that 50,000 people.
The golden number.
The golden number, yes. Mm-hmm. I mean, 50,000 should definitely put us as number one in Denmark in terms of English publication as well. So there will be no question, I think, from the side of the state to when they will consider, should we give them a couple millions next year to hire people or not? And imagine how amazing it would be to have 24/7 people. Well, not 24/7. They still also have to go home and sleep.
No, we don't want robots.
Exactly. But, you know, to have people who actually dedicate 8 hours per day. I do like 12 hours per week in this project to keep it alive. But, you know, it's difficult when it's just on a side. Of course, it will still be me who keeps writing it, the English edition, and doing that part. But there's just so much more that could be done with the content, with promotion, with... that I simply don't have time for it. You need someone who actually can manage the volunteers and whatnot. So it'll be nice to have a secretariat of people who are dedicated for this project and that will be able to grow it, because our mission is to empower people with information, right? And until we reach 600,000 people, I don't think we have fulfilled our mission. We need to build that platform that can easily reach to every international in Denmark. That's also the whole idea why we go after public funding and we don't go out the Copenhagen Post way or the local way, which is simply to put a paywall and be like, give us money if you want to have information. We will never do that. That much you can be assured. So we will find other ways, and the best way is a public funding. In the end, this is a public service. We are doing it for the interest of the citizens in the end, of the people living in Denmark. So yeah, expect this very cool campaign that's going to be launched next week. Be ready to bring in your friends and your relatives and whatnot. Of course, that live in Denmark and want to be on this newsletter, because we also care about our opening rate. We have a very high opening rate of 70%. And we want to keep it there because it shows that there is really is interest. It's pointless to have 50,000 people with an opening rate of 20%. It's the same like having 25,000 with 50% or 60% opening rate. Besides the referral campaign, I would like to remind people that we are having this project with AMIS, AMIS International Club. We want to make this nice United in Diversity Cafe events where we can bring internationals together to meet each other and make projects together on a local level. My colleague Sophie, the project manager of that project, she has made some online calls. You'll find them in the newsletter where you can join on Zoom and talk to her about how can you be part of this project. And besides that, the last thing, if you're an entrepreneur and you would like to spend less money with your accountant, then you have to join our Essential Financial Skills course. It's free. It's well, it's free because it's financed by the European Union and Iverksetter Denmark, but it's delivered by Aalborg Institute for Development. You'll be there able to learn how to do different things to rely as little as possible on the accountant and do as much as possible yourself, so that you save a couple of thousands minimum per year in accounting fees. And not only that, you'll also learn how to understand your financials and how to make decisions based on it.
That sounds really useful for a lot of entrepreneurs and business owners. Is it all in English? Is the course being delivered in English?
Yes, the course will be in English. That's kind of what makes Aalborg Institute for Development interesting, is that they have always pursued or asked for courses to be done in English. Actually, this time the call was only for Danish courses to be made. But then we made a plea that, well, it's not fair that all the courses should be in Danish. So they decided to allow one from this autumn season to be in English. And they decided to be this one about financials. But we have a feeling that next year, if there is a huge interest, they will be opening a lot more other courses, other fields, other types for international entrepreneurs living in Denmark.
Now, moving on, Narcissus, can you please take us through some of the newsletter headlines for this week and introduce what we will be covering on today's episode?
Well, yeah, I mean, let's go first. If we look at today's edition of Last Week in Denmark, I think a very interesting story. I know it's in Danish normally, but just, you know, click on the link and use Google Translate because it's really interesting. It's basically, you can learn how to make billions from potatoes. There's a company in Denmark who dedicated themselves to the potato itself. They used to make potato flour once upon a time. And now they have learned how to turn to make potato protein, potato starch, and use that to replace kind of animal protein in various products, which is a thing going now with the whole green transition, right? And thanks to that, now they are making billions. When they were making flour, not so much. But now when they have switched to being much smarter about their own product, they learned the potato much better. Now they can make billions out of it. You should definitely look at that story. It's very interesting. Another thing that maybe people should consider is social dental care. If some of you that are listening to us are in a situation where you rely on, you're unemployed, you're homeless, simply you rely on the state to go from day to day, you can always go to your municipality and ask support. This is called social dental care. It's an ordinance since 2020. And the commune will pay for your dental, to recover all your teeth in a way. So basically, let's say you have only 4 or 5 teeth left, the commune will pay until you have the entire mouth functioning again, which is amazing because something like that can cost more than a car sometimes.
Yeah, that's huge. I didn't know that was a thing. I thought dental work was all sort of privately paid for in Denmark. So that's really useful.
Yeah, and to be honest, there's a lot of more things about dental care that should be uncovered. It sounds always like a scary monster that people try to stay away, like they try to go back to their home countries to do dental care and so on. But it's worth investigating the opportunities that you have here in Denmark, because to be honest, it's not always as expensive as you imagine, and it's very high quality. What I noticed in comparison with, let's just say, my home country, in terms of dentists is that the materials, the machines they have here, they're quite higher quality or next level than what I found in Romania, for example. So give it a try, learn more about it. I think we're going to have an insights episode about this at some mm-hmm. point. So just keep looking for our for our episodes on Spotify or any other platform that you're using. Now let's keep looking at the newsletter. What else we have here? There is this thing called Heart Runner. I think that's how you say it, right?
Do you mean Heart Runner?
Heart Runner, of course. Yes, become a yeah. Heart Runner. they are, I don't know if you knew, but a lot of people around you in your municipality, they sign up to be Heart Runners. Basically, let's say someone has a heart attack. You get, let's say you're in the vicinity of it. You get a notification on your phone and a road towards the nearest defibrillator. And then you go there, you pick it up, and you run to the place where the person has, and you already should know how to apply first help. Actually, it's an ordinance that works quite well in Denmark. A lot of people are a part of it, and it saves thousands of people's lives every year. So internationals should definitely be part of it as well. I don't think it's a way to show ourselves that we are also part of different aspects of society, I think, in here. And I think that's why I encourage you to read that part and maybe consider becoming one.
So is it all in the newsletter, how to become a heart runner?
Exactly.
Great.
So
yeah.
All you have to do is press on that link and go save some people's lives. I have a feeling it can be quite rewarding, I must say. Then we have also some negative news, unfortunately. Not everything can be positive. There is oxygen depletion in the Danish waters. So basically, fish are running away from our territorial waters, very, very far away. People who are going out to fish in the nearby the coast, they can barely find any fish anymore. So definitely, you should read that story. It's quite heartbreaking in a way, but also to understand where overfishing and agriculture can lead us to. But I'll not say more. Just read the story. And of course, there is something interesting in Copenhagen happening. There is a quantum tech center opened by NATO. So that's pretty cool. I want to go visit it one day.
Yeah, we'll meet there. I definitely want to go. That sounds great.
Yeah, I mean that's the future, right? Quantum technology. We are in the AI world, but we haven't even grasped what will happen once you apply quantum technology to AI. So I definitely want to see what's that happening and how that's going to play a role in the current war. Because people, remember, we are at war. I know it can be hard to understand when we live our lives in peace and everything, but yeah, we are at war. we were a bit concerned the first year of war. We are already in year 3 soon. I don't know how long it's going to keep, but we need to be aware that there are some people who are in the front line and they are suffering the grim reality of war every day. But that's kind of what's important. Of course, there's also the discussion about abortion rights. They want to make it like in other neighbor countries where it's allowed to have abortion at a later stage. And there doesn't seem to be any much complications about it. Most political parties are on it. The ethics councils recommended it. So it's going to be quite smooth sailing, I would say. And in terms of what we should discuss today, I think it's very interesting to discuss maybe about what the Prime Minister says, that we are working less in Denmark, actually, and that the work ethic of the Danish people seems to be a bit wavering.
Now, today we won't have time to cover all of these headlines in depth, but do remember it's all in the newsletter, so do subscribe if you haven't already and enjoy the full stories direct to your inbox every Sunday. You can click the link in the show description to subscribe today and keep up to date with what's happening in Denmark. Before we move on into our deeper dive segment of the show and take an intricate look at some of those headlines, Narcissus, would you like to take us through our political overview?
Yes, I think what's interesting to mention here will be the discussion we had last week about the salary increase for four groups of the public employees, for nurses, for health and social assistants, for prison guards, and for educators. It seems that in terms of the nurses, at least, that comes with some strings attached. there's some things that the government forgot to mention last week. First of all, it seems that they want people to work full time. I don't know if people are aware, but most nurses actually in Denmark are part time. Like 50% of the nurses are part time. 85% of the social and health workers are part time. 71% of the SOSU, the social and health assistants, work part time. So actually, most of the healthcare staff is part time in Denmark. And now the government tries to get more out of them because it feels like we have this huge lack of all these three groups of professionals. So, but in the same time, it's going to be difficult because many of them, you know, have also are, to be honest, from a feminine gender. Should I say that? Is that okay in 2023? But it's they're like females, most of them, to be honest. And a lot of them also have families, children, and they want to spend. They have roles to fulfill at home as well. That's exactly what the Danish Nurses Council said as well. And more money is not going to make them spend less time with their children or with their families.
Especially not if they've got sort of caring responsibilities for either kids of theirs or older parents or aging parents. You know, they have home care responsibilities. So they're not just going to suddenly say, oh, sorry, you've got to look after yourself now because I need to earn a little bit more money. So, yeah.
Yeah. So unfortunately, all these part-timers will not get the salary increase. Only the people who switch to full-time, of course. And that's not enough. They will also be, they will have to show that they are really motivated to get those money by getting more night shifts and weekend shifts, because it seems there is a lot of them who avoid, obviously, night shifts and weekend shifts. I mean, who wants to work on a weekend besides, you know, poor entrepreneurs who have to? But
hello.
But if, as a public employee, I mean, you feel a bit strange that you as a nurse have to work evenings and weekends, and let's say the educator or the administrator in your hospital has normal shifts, 8 to 5. And it's a hard thing to say. I mean, we need people to work at night and weekends. It's not like healthcare stops because it's weekend. People need support those times, but it's just, I don't know. I feel like this 2,500 kronas, it feels like such a little amount. It's ridiculous. I feel like there should be a much bigger increase of salary for them, because they do something that's very essential. They literally save people's lives. And I think that we should kind of put more money in that, and maybe more people will be interested to join in this profession, because it is a lifestyle. To be a nurse, it's a lifestyle. I think it's, you need to have that dedication for the society. And the last thing that's also quite interesting is that the money will not come now. The money will come slowly over the next 6 years in increments, incrementally. So they will see this 2,500 kronas increase in 2030, more likely. Not so cool.
So, I mean, is it going to incentivize anyone into becoming a full-time nurse? Like, is it going to do anything?
To be honest, no. I think, like, in the end, they will have to go back to the original plan, which will be to train people abroad, like in Philippines or Thailand or other countries like that, and then bring them here to work in the system. That's pretty much the only solution. Unless they really get serious about salary conditions for nurses. There is a tripartite negotiation, because in Denmark, by the way, the state can decide your salary. The Danish model is all about negotiating your salary, right? We don't have minimum wage in Denmark. So that means that the representatives of the nurses, the Danish Nurses Council, together with the representatives of the employers, which is the region, the regional councils, they together have to discuss about what salary should nurses, for example, have. And the government is also part of it. That's why it's called tripartite negotiations. And they already kind of announced publicly what they want from these negotiations. But it's not, doesn't mean this is how it's going to end. And I have a feeling that the Danish Nurses Council is going to fight like hell to get better conditions than that. But let's see how that goes. I mean, it's easy to say, well, that's going to happen. Well, no. Danish model says very simply, it all depends on the negotiations between the three partners, the state, the employer, and the employees. And that's in the case of every trade in Denmark. almost everyone has their own union that represents and decides their salary. That's why we don't have a minimum salary in Denmark. So if you decide to work for 1 krona per hour, you can. Just be sure why are you doing that?
Have a little think. Have a careful think.
Yeah. But I think that's enough with the political stuff. I mean, maybe you can also see in the newsletter about body cameras for police officers. And funny enough, unlike other countries, it's not because the people are asking for it, but it's because the police officers are asking for it. They themselves got tired to use their own phones to record situations. And it seems a lot of times people claim police brutality, but it seems it's the once you put the angle properly, you'll see that's not really police brutality involved. So they want to protect themselves. They want to have body cameras, which is interesting. I mean, in US, they're running away from that. But in here, they want that. Even the police union is out like, we need body cameras. We must protect our officers because too often they are being ridiculed or people take advantage of, you know, making fun of the police. Can you prove I made fun of you? And sometimes, obviously, the public opinion will always be on the side of the citizen, not really of the police officer. So I see it as a good thing. Even if there is a situation where the police brutality happens, that also is good for the side of the citizen. So I don't see what's bad about having body cameras. Of course, it's an investment. It's more public money to be spent. But I see it as a good investment, and I don't see it as a way that trust will somehow be lowered in the police. I don't think so.
No, it should have the opposite effect, really, because everything is now going to be provable. You know, if it's your word against a police officer's word, well, now they've got the body cam, so it's like, well, here you go, here's the evidence. You know, so just behave out there, guys.
Do you have that in UK? Did you have that in UK? People with body, like police officers with body cameras. Do you have that already?
I don't think so.
No.
I haven't kept up with the news in the UK for a while, but well, I do keep up with it, but only a couple of papers, and I haven't read anything about that happening recently. So I think some of them have cameras.
Okay.
But it's not a general thing, I don't think, but don't quote me on that.
Okay. No, but that's pretty much it for the political overview. Not much has happened in this last week of September. We are going very, very strongly towards the opening of the parliament. That's going to happen in October. And then we're going to have much more political news, let's just say.
Sure. So next up on today's show is our deep dive segment. This is where we discuss some of the headlines. Narcissus, what would you like to discuss today?
Do we work less in Denmark? What do you think?
Well, personally, no. Or do I work less, actually? No, I probably do work less since I moved to Denmark, to be honest, especially in the summer. there's the kind of misconception, when I first moved to Denmark, everybody told me, like, no, nobody works in July and August, like, because the sun's out, and that's quite rare in Denmark. I mean, we might get sun, but it might be cold, you know. So, yeah, I did get told that there were lots of bank holidays and a lot of people don't really work in the summer.
Yeah.
And I must say, I kind of joined in this summer and didn't do much in July. I was mostly abroad in July. So, yeah, what do you think? Do you work less?
Like most days. Like Denmark becomes a ghost town in July. So.
Unless you're by the water, then it's packed with bodies everywhere. Do you work less in Denmark?
We work less in Denmark, it seems. Actually, the average working hours in Denmark in 2 years ago, in 2021, was 30 hours per week, which is far away from the 37 that are kind of in the low. So it's quite interesting that it seems that many people don't work full time. And actually, we are number 4 in Europe in terms of working full part-time, like 26% of all people. You saw already the statistics on the healthcare stuff, but 26% of all people in Denmark are part-time, actually. Every fourth employee.
Yeah, that's really interesting. That must be quite unusual.
Yeah, we are number 4 in Europe in terms of this. It's a quite high number.
So how come we all get to work part-time? Or how come that percentage of us work part-time? Is it because salaries are better, so we don't need to work full-time to get the amount of money that we need to live? Is it because we're more skilled, or we're higher trained, so we get paid more per task or per hour? You know, what's the reason for this, do you think?
It's more complex than to paint it with one's reason. But of course, some people want to work less for various reasons. Maybe they have hobbies they pursue. Maybe they have family they want to be more with. Maybe they homeschool their children, which can happen in Denmark quite often. So there's different reasons of why people choose to work less. And even if they work less, they still make enough money. I think, to be honest, most people can make enough money to live, to have like food and a roof over your home. If you work minimum, let's just say 20, 25 hours per week, you can still get enough money to live by. Of course, it's not ideal. You don't make that much money. Some people do. If you're a consultant and you work 15, 20 hours, you make 1,500 kronas per hour. Yes, maybe we can even pass by with 10, 15 hours per week, which is nice for them. But not everyone can be a consultant, can it? So I think for a normal person that makes, let's say, 130, 150 per hour, which is already very low salary, if you work for 130 per hour, like, so that's quite low, to be honest. Then if you work 20, 25, 30, let's just say, not even a full 37, you can still make it. So at least you get that one extra free day that you can maybe have for your parents or for your children, or yeah, depends now in what situation you're in. Maybe you're just writing a book or pursuing some interest you have, or you're in your middle age crisis and you're trying to find a new thing that you're looking into. It can be many reasons.
Midlife crisis time, let's buy a Lamborghini.
Yeah, well, the car will not give you more time. But there is a tendency actually among parents to actually take care of their children at home instead of sending them to institutions. There is even a thing called the Aero Manifest. It's about a woman who moved with her children on a small island to raise her children there, and she made this manifest of how working less has made her life better. To be honest, the government is not happy. They're all about that manifest and about this idea that people should work less, because they feel like Danish work ethic is what brought Denmark to where it is today, or decision to work. And this let's just say trend, because it's becoming more of a trend where people try to work less and less, it's not going well for Denmark, because Denmark is starved for a workforce, right? We need 40,000 people today in various fields to come and well, skilled people, of course, in various fields to take up those jobs. And we don't have them. And if we work less, let's say you decrease your hours by 7 hours or by half, then that means someone else needs to take those hours. Obviously, it's not like they just disappear. So the government is very concerned. Like, the prime minister right now is going around the country talking about how she's concerned about the work ethic. She's actually saying, she quoted the former prime minister Thorvald Stauning, which was a great social democrat prime minister. She said, she quotes, that's his words, "Idleness and laziness are the enemies of men. Through diligence and work, individuals come forward. And each individual helps to create a society that can provide a good life both during work." It's an old quote, so it doesn't 100% make sense. But the idea is that somehow if we become a more lazy society, it's bad. But I don't think that's true, because I don't think people work less to stay and watch TV at home. I find that hard to believe, to be honest. There might be the case for some, because, well, we cannot all be the same. But I don't think the large majority works and makes less money because, I don't know, I want to watch more TV at home. I mean, I find that to be hard to believe. And if that's the case, there's a real other reason there for sure. Let's not forget that mental health is also an issue in Denmark, and that could be a more relevant cause to look at. I hardly believe people will choose out just because maybe they're overworked, and let's say they choose to watch TV for a whole week to kind of recharge. But to have someone who chooses for a whole year to only do that, I find it hard to believe. There must be something else there.
Yeah, I find that hard to believe as well. There's got to be something else going on, hasn't there?
Because work gives you a purpose, right? It gives you something that you want to do, and some work is paid, some work is not, like the one we do now.
So, indeed.
But it doesn't mean we're just lazing out by not having these hours. So that's kind of what I think about working less we do work less. Statistics show that we do work less, but that doesn't mean we truly work less. We just work less in paid jobs. We just do more unpaid jobs. And in the end, Denmark is a country that was built upon volunteering, upon associations life, right? Upon people that dedicating themselves to the society. So I just feel like people maybe do that more of that. It was a quite sharp decline in the last 10 years where employment has increased quite severely. Because this is also quite funny. Let's not remember that we have now one of the highest employment rates we ever had in history in Denmark. More people than ever work. It's just they don't work necessarily full-time jobs.
Mm-hmm.
That's the key there. So everyone wants to work. It's just not everyone wants to fully work all the time. They just want to do other stuff, whatever that is. And that could be interesting to find out. I think, I hope that someone will look more deeper into it. Maybe we can have some listeners send us tips. Why, if they work less, why do they work less? We could mention it in the next show if we want to continue this. Yeah.
For sure. Thank you for that. Before we sign off, we'd like to announce we are planning the launch of a supplementary podcast called Last Week in Denmark Insights. This show will be a guest-led interview and discussion-based podcast where we go deeper into particular topics. If you would like to join me on our Insight show, you can find me on LinkedIn under Louisa Wizzy Magnusson or Magnusson. Message me there or contact me at hello@wizmedia.dk. It's WIZMEDIA.DK with your name, topic of expertise and a summary of your experience on your chosen topic. Very excited to launch the new Insight show. Are you excited about it?
Yeah, absolutely. Especially about this one about dental care. That's going to come in 2 weeks. I really want to hear more about it because I feel like it's something that more people will benefit from. So that's what Insights will all be about, right? Evergreen content that will always be interesting to listen to.
For sure. I'm looking forward to getting my teeth stuck into some interviews. Thank you for tuning in today, Narcissus. Thank you for your time. I hope you've enjoyed our chat today.
Absolutely. I mean, there's a reason why I had to wake up at 6:30.
On a Sunday.
Exactly.
We hope you found this podcast informative, interesting, and of value. We'll be back next week on your favorite podcast platform. Just search Last Week in Denmark. Thank you very much for listening, and goodbye for now.
Bye-bye.